I would like to read from the book of Isaiah, the chapter 53, the book of Isaiah and the chapter 53. Just going to read some verses from the beginning of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 53, the verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." May the Lord bless this reading from his precious word. I read these words because they had a special place in the heart of our brother George Morrison, and especially so in the recent days of his sufferings. When he was in hospital, I read these verses on a number of occasions, and I since discovered that they were also read by the family, by his son Ivan, when the family were gathered with him. He used to request that these verses be read to him. It is not surprising that he should so delight in such words as these. For these verses are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you will have heard, as I read, no mention of his name. You will not have heard the name of Jesus mentioned. In fact, the person who features so much in this chapter is not given a name. He is just referred to as he. It's one of the privileges of a New Testament believer that there has been revealed to them through the New Testament a much fuller degree of truth than was possessed by the Old Testament believer. But just in case you think, well, perhaps you're reading into this chapter more than you should, and perhaps the prophet wasn't speaking of Jesus Christ, I have only to turn to the Acts of the Apostles and refer you to the chapter 8 of that wonderful book. And there you will read of an evangelist called Philip being led by God to cross the path of the Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way homeward from Jerusalem back to the court where he served. And it says that as he sat in his chariot, he read the very verses I have just read to you. As Philip drew near, he heard him read. When you want to take something in, I have often said, you read it out loud. If you're having difficulty comprehending what is written down before you, you don't read it silently, but you begin very purposefully to read it out loud so that you take in what is read. And that's what that man was doing, because he wanted to know what it was that was being said. And Philip asked him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, how can I? I need help. And we read in the verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So that man there sitting in the chariot discovered who it was that the prophet Isaiah in the chapter 53 in the verses I have just read to you was talking about. It was Jesus. And that's why George loved this chapter. Those verses in particular that I have read to you, because they spoke so clearly to him of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you concerning these verses that they, first of all, form the very substance of George's faith. There's a lot of people that were you to ask them the question, what is your faith? And what do you base it upon? They'd be thrown into consternation. They might tell you, I really haven't thought much about it. If you said to them, what makes you think you own the house you live in? They tell you, because the deeds of the house are in my name and they're lodged with the solicitor. Or perhaps with the bank. Oh, they have a good understanding of that. And yet, when it comes to the matter of eternity, they have never really thought about it. Well, George Morrison thought about it. And George Morrison had his feet very firmly upon a very solid rock. And it was a rock of God's precious word. He believed what is taught here in these verses, and of course is echoed throughout the rest of Scripture. He believed that Jesus Christ on the cross was wounded for our transgressions. He suffered in the place of his people. He bore the punishment that the sinner should bear. And consequently, the sinner escapes justly and legally the wrath that would otherwise have fallen upon him. If you are in debt and someone goes to the one to whom you owe the money and pays over every last penny, you're no longer in debt. You might never have paid it, but you're no longer in debt, for someone else paid it. We sing a little hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Our sins were there in God's book, but the blood of Jesus Christ washed them white as snow. And it was in October 1970 in the little old hall over there in Lispelaw that George Morrison publicly put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and made him his Savior. I said at the home earlier today that for him, he was revisiting what he had heard and been taught as a boy. In fact, it's only a short while before he became ill, we were talking. And he said, when I first went along to Lisbalaw, I was instantly carried back, as I listened to the preaching, to the days of Master Coulter in Ballinamonard. There's very few here will know that name, but those who do will know what I'm talking about. He was carried back to those days when he was taught the old truths and brought along by believing parents to hear those truths, but from which he drifted for a period in his life. But God in wonderful mercy brought him back under the sound of those truths. And in Lisbalaw, 37 years ago, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And even then was submitting to and obeying what his parents had taught him, what Master Coulter had taught him, and many others, I'm sure, as well. I tell you, here's the foundation of his faith. Now, what's the foundation of your faith today, my friend? What's the foundation of your faith? Another hymn we like to sing is this: On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other rocks are sinking sand. It's been paraphrased that Christ is the rock and all other rocks are sham rocks. They're not genuine and they're not real. What are you standing on? What are you hoping on? For George, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glorious promises contained there. But these verses also were the subject of his meditation. I've already told you that many, many times these verses were read to him. Did he get weary of it? No, he never did. His face lit up every time he heard those same old familiar words. There is a sweetness and a richness, a fullness in God's word that cannot be exhausted, men and women. You remember the story of Elijah and the handful of meal at the bottom of the barrel? And every time a serving was taken out, it hadn't diminished anything. It remained at the same level. And the cruse of oil, every time there was a pouring taken from it, it remained at the same level. It was inexhaustible. That's how it is with God's word. You never grow weary of it. And you can't extract from it all the sweetness and all the benefits. And in his sickness and in his pain and in his sufferings, George came back again and again and again to this portion. And he listened to those sweet words. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the chastising that I should have received was laid on him. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Oh, how George would have savored that. For he knew he had gone astray. But the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our going astray, Christ was punished for it. Our sin, Christ was punished for it. And George lay back in the midst of his sufferings and his pain, and he lay back on those precious truths. And they were his comfort and his meditation. They were his solace in his trial. I never saw George downhearted when I visited him. It troubled me to see him suffering. It was obvious that he was suffering. Toward the end, you could see that his faculties were affected. But he found sweet solace and sweet comfort in those precious words that I have just read to you. What a glorious book this is, men and women. And yet how many go through life with all its troubles and trials, and they don't open this sweet medicine that would heal them from every woe. I tell you, no matter what your trouble is today, and if our troubles were now mirrored before us for all to read, what a myriad of troubles there are in this little gathering. How many burdens there are in hearts in this little gathering. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ is the answer to every one of our troubles. I tell you, everyone, the words that I have read to you was George's song in death. I never heard George Morrison sing on his own. Oh, he heartily sung in the congregation. Everybody's made to heartily sing in this church when it comes to congregational singing. We like to sing. And it's the preacher's task to give the folk in his preaching something to make them sing. Though I can remember when I was a youngster, I always sang the last hymn pretty loudly because I was getting out. But I hope that wasn't the motive. And I don't think I observed that pattern, that the last hymn was always sung better than any others. No, I never heard George sing on his own, but he did on Sunday night. He sang weakly, for he was weak. But he sang. He sang because his heart was happy. Doubtless, power of pain and the confinements of a body that was dying was pressing upon him, but nevertheless, there broke through it all a song that was in his heart. And it was a song about Jesus. He was singing. Faintly from his heart, though not faintly in God's ears, God heard him most clearly. George Morrison was singing. My friend, it's a wonderful thing to look forward with the hope that when death comes, I'll have a song. I'll have a song. Make Christ your Savior in life, and you will have a song in death. You will have a song in death. We're saying farewell to a dear soul, a loving father, husband, companion, friend, neighbor. But there has been illustrated in his life for us all to see the wonderful way of salvation. Oh, that you would come to believe the same message that George believed and embrace the Christ that George embraced. He wasn't hoping in this church to get him to heaven. He came to this church to hear about the Christ who would get him to heaven. Oh, that today you might trust that Christ as well. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.